Max, he's got a mop in his hand, followed by Sergeant Kabuki Man. The chicken zombies have got on a rage. The blood-sucking freaks are trapped in a cage. Uncle Lloydy is tossing gay cookies. That's what he gets for blowing his boogie. The monster in the closet isn't a prick, but the killer condom will bite off your dick. It's not a party if it's not in your pants, so come on and do the trauma dance. 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 The kids at Newcom High are late for class again. Fatty drives the bus around the bend. Mother's Day was almost a year ago. Igor and the lunatics stole the show. Uncle Lloydy is tossing gay cookies. That's what he gets for blowing his boogie. The monster in the closet isn't a prick, but the killer condom will bite off your dick. It's not a party if it's not in your pants, so come on and do the trauma dance. Do the trauma dance. Do the trauma dance. Trauma dance. Do the 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 trauma dance.
Welcome back to another in a long line of GorePress, GoreCast, Zzzzzzz. I'm your host, Dangerous Jamie. Joining me, as always, is the beautiful Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. That was, like, the most complimentary you've ever been.
That's not true. I once wrote a really nice list about you.
Oh, you did. I still have it.
Yeah, do you?
I do.
Oh. I'll be a pair of sweeties.
So,
yeah, today we're going to talk, it was the start of Trauma Month.
It is.
So we're going to talk about the Trauma Classic.
Classic's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's a bit of a nice hangover from a Revenge Month as well, so
yeah,
we can sort of dovetail those two things together. We were meant to be covering Mother's Day, but we're not now.
Yeah.
We're doing that like next week or whatever.
I couldn't get hold of it in time.
Yeah.
So
next week. It's okay. It's only going to be a week.
Yeah.
But before we talk about Serve Nazis Must Die, we kick off the show in style, as always, with what we've been watching. And I've watched some doozies this week. I haven't. I've watched other things.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. So I watched Grave Encounters.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of that then?
I thought it was fucking lame.
It's, I didn't think it was lame. What do you think of found footage on the whole?
I don't know. I've not seen many found footage films that I've loved.
Okay.
But I thought Grave Encounters was particularly bad.
What did you think was so bad about it?
I don't know. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. Like, there's these douchey paranormal investigators, and mm-hmm. then they invest some paranormal stuff, and then they all get killed.
Yeah, that's about the long and short of it.
And the effects are terrible.
Oh, I wouldn't say terrible. It had its moments.
It's got that sort of, hey, we make horror films with computers now feeling about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, let's just store everything using computers. We should probably just preface this with, it sounds like your neighbour's doing some DIY or something.
Oh
over
my
there.
God, I'm going to go and punch them in a minute.
So
I'm sorry for this,
for
the incessant banging.
Yeah, trying to, like, come into the podcast, it's because they're just knocking on the walls, I guess.
This is a snippet of the past fortnight for me,
so you can
share my misery for 45 minutes.
Nice. So yeah, Grave Encounters, everyone was a dick. One guy kind of looked like Bugger from Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah, fucking lame.
Okay. I didn't think it was that bad. That's kind of sad, but understandable, I guess.
It was just... I don't know. I don't know what I can say about it that is complimentary. The performances were okay, I guess.
Yeah?
It had some creepy moments. There were some nice, like, setups that were just sort of... that I was enjoying. But then the payoff on that setup was never as good as what the setup was as thing.
That's fair enough. What would you give it out of 10? I guess you wouldn't watch it again.
No, maybe, well, like, I gave it 2 on my Letterboxd account, which is out of 5, so that's like a 4 out of 10.
Well, that's not that bad then.
I mean, it's kind of bad.
Okay.
Go on, you do one.
I've got a couple that I really want to talk about this week, actually. Firstly, I watched Nightbreed again.
Nice.
ever since I saw it at Fright Fest, the Cabal Cut, I've just been like, I want to watch that again immediately. Because it had been years.
Yeah.
And I think I'd forgotten how great it was. And it's one I'd never bought, because there was only really that sort of Region 1 vanilla disc. So I'd kind of been holding out for something better.
Yeah.
But I just thought, fuck it, I want to see it again. So bit the bullet and bought that one.
Nice.
So yeah. Rosie and Phil haven't seen it, so I'm kind of stoked to potentially introduce some newbies to it and see what they think.
So how was it watching the sort of the released cut after seeing the Cabal Cut?
I don't know. I think because it had been quite a few years since I'd seen any version when I saw the Cabal Cut, I wasn't sure if I'd sort of imagined bits. Like, you know, when you sort of have very... what you think are very vivid memories of having watched a film, and then you find that time has sort of skewed it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure what was accurate and what wasn't. I'm not sure which version I prefer, to be honest, because there were bits in the Cabal Cut that I think really added to it, but also bits that I think shouldn't really have been there, and just dated it, maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe that was just the VHS quality.
Can I ask you a question about the Cabal Cut?
Mm-hmm.
And if it sort of gets a bit too spoilery, then just tell me to shut up, because...
Okay.
Because I want to see it and enjoy it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more of David Cronenberg's character?
Yes. Not loads more.
He is thoroughly the best bit of...
There is definitely more of Decker in there.
Nice.
There's more of everything, really.
Yeah. He's definitely my favourite thing about Nightbreed.
He is great. Creepy as hell.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a very enjoyable rewatch. How about you? Anything else?
Yeah, I've got a few more. I watched Piggy.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen it?
No, it's one that Dave reviewed a while back. What did you think of that then?
I mean, at the start I was a bit like, ugh, okay. And then I was like, oh no, this is pretty good. And then like 10 hours later... I was like, I just don't care anymore. End this fucking disgrace.
Oh,
it was fine, and it was violent, and it was... I mean, if it's... I don't want to take... Do you know, like, when you say it's like this meets this, and it's sort of a spoiler?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And it's kind of a spoiler.
So well, you've prefaced it by saying it's going to be a spoiler, so...
Yeah.
If you're still listening, you can't complain.
So it's Dead Man's Shoes meets Fight Club, basically.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh.
I mean, it's fine. It's really, really well shot. Like, I guess it was shot on the Red. It looks like it was shot on something really cinematic, but also digital.
Okay.
So it's got this sort of really nice, deep quality to the images, and it's sort of a kind of filtered through maybe a grey or a blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks great. And the characters are creepy looking and sort of... Well, Piggy's creepy looking. And like almost... what's the word? Like almost like shot in a way that Sergio Leone would shoot someone.
Okay.
So it's really, really nice to look at. But it just drags on for ages. And then you don't care about anything by the end of it.
That's a shame. So worth a watch or just too slow that you couldn't really recommend it?
It's probably worth a watch, but a tentative watch, a rent. It's worth a rent.
Okay. If there's nothing else, watch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
What else have I watched?
I don't know.
What else have I watched?
This is the bit where you tell me.
The other thing that I really, really wanted to talk about was finally got around to watching Snowtown. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't.
Oh, man. You should. Yeah. Friggin' blew me away.
I don't know if I've even heard of it. What is it?
It's an Australian movie about John Bunting, who was a serial killer in the 90s.
Right. He's got a silly name.
He has.
It sounds like he belongs at, like, a village fete.
Oh, he really doesn't. You would not be saying that if you'd seen what I'd seen. Yeah, just wonderfully made. I think it definitely would benefit if you have a passing knowledge of the actual crimes before you watch it, otherwise it might be a little bit confusing.
Right.
But beautifully made. I don't think a film has made me that uncomfortable since Irreversible.
Wow. That's
That's
praise and a half.
Yeah, well, some bits were really friggin' tough to watch. Really hard to sit through. But it blew me away. Really beautifully made. Definitely, definitely recommended.
Cool. I've got one other one that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So I watched Dark Shadows.
Oh, okay.
In which, surprisingly enough, Johnny Depp plays a sort of spooky fish out of water.
Does he?
Yeah, it's directed by Tim Burton. So he co-stars Helena Bonham Carter.
Wait, no, I think I've seen this. I might be thinking of something else, though.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so it's that. It's exactly that.
Okay.
They made lots of hilarious jokes about the duality of meaning in the word balls. There were some really sort of current jokes about whether Alice Cooper is a man or a woman.
Really up to date. When was it set?
It's set in the 70s.
Yeah, so you can sort of let them off that, maybe.
Not really, because, like... although it's set in the 70s, everyone who knows who Alice Cooper is has at some point maybe made a joke about the gender of Alice Cooper.
Okay, maybe.
And, like, saying balls, talking about throwing a ball, and then having lots of people saying, oh yeah, my balls are so great, they bring everyone, they would bring the entire townspeople. It's just lame. It's really fucking lame. And it looked great. It looked probably one of the best looking Tim Burton films I've seen in a while.
Okay.
Because it didn't have that horrible sort of grey thing of Sweeney Todd.
Oh yeah.
And it didn't look like something that was just like a day glow abortion. It was a big fish. Like, it had a really nice sort of 70s horror Hammer feel to it, but like just nothing happens at all.
I can't say I'm too shocked that it's not great.
No, well, yeah, I wasn't too shocked either, but I was kind of hoping for slightly more.
Yeah.
I mean, it had Chloe Moretz in, and I've got a real thing for Chloe Moretz.
I know, an inappropriate thing.
It's not inappropriate.
On that topic, though, nice little segue.
Yeah.
I watched Hick, which nobody else ever seems to have heard of, but that was Chloe Moretz. She was the main character in that. Didn't really know what to make of it.
What's it even about?
Well, she is the titular Hick, I guess. This girl from Nebraska who decides to... I don't know, just... Her mom leaves one day, her dad's an alcoholic, so she decides to just sod off to Las Vegas by hitching rides, and it's just about her and the people she meets on the way, and... I guess it's supposed to be quite shocking in places, but isn't really. She's wonderful.
A white trash Lolita type story, or
maybe there's elements of that, definitely. Right. But she, like, it's worth seeing for her performance. She is absolutely wonderful. She's just fantastic. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm not sure there's a lot there to recommend it. It was one that I'd been looking forward to seeing for ages, and had actually ordered a Rita Von copy of, because it came out there and just no release here at all. But it was just really badly missold by the trailer.
Is it meant to be a? Did it look like it was going to be a horror film then?
No.
Is it a horror film?
No. It's I don't know, gritty drama with elements of dark comedy, I guess. It's the only real way to describe it. But yeah, I felt like the trailer really missold it. Felt a little bit cheated, maybe.
Fair enough. Yeah. Have you got anything else? Because that's it from me.
The only other thing that I wanted to mention...
I did rewatch Role Models, but I could... Don't need to talk about that, really.
I think we've all seen that, haven't we?
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to give a quick mention to is we watched Splinter. We did a Gormantry for Splinter last week.
I love Splinter, I think it's great.
I friggin' love it as well. And I think it was quite a good one. I think it was a good Gormantry, so that'll be going live on Wednesday.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So you'll have to listen to that.
Out for that, yeah. Right, let's take a quick old break and we'll come back and talk about Peter George's Surf Nazis Must Die. Back after this.
If you fancy dropping us a line at the Gore Press Gorecast, there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can send all your competition entries, feedback and comments to podcast@gorepress.com. If you're on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/gorecast. Or if you're on Twitter, you can follow us at GorecastX.
Sometime in the near future, a major earthquake will lay waste to the entire California coastline. From out of the rubble will rise a menace far more terrifying than the death and destruction. Surf Nazis. Who rules the beaches? Who rules the surfers? The beautiful beaches, once the crown jewels of California, are now ruled by ruthless gangs. Gangs are ruled by the surf Nazis. Surf Nazis must die. Adolf, Ava, Mengele, Hook, Smeg, and the rest of their evil Reich. Something must be done to stop them, because surf Nazis must die. They're slaughtering the samurai surfers. They're devastating the designer wave. The beaches are no longer safe to hang around. Surf Nazis must die. Welcome to California, where the beaches have become battlefields and the waves are a war zone. Only one person is powerful enough, daring enough, brave enough to stop them. Only one person can ensure that surf Nazis must die. She's tough.
I want to buy a gun. He's talking like that, but I'm more interested in something to take the head off a honky at 20 paces.
She's dangerous. She's all woman. She's Leroy's mama. And as long as she's alive, the surf Nazis must die. First, there was the Road Warrior. Then there was the Terminator. Now comes an action film of relentless excitement. Lavishly produced by Robert Timmel. Stylishly directed by Peter George. Surf Nazis must die. Experience the passion of perverted romance. Know the evil of mankind's greatest villains. And taste the violent revenge.
Taste some of mama's home cooking, Ada.
See the film that is creating a tidal wave of action all over the world. See Surf Nazis.
We're back and we're talking about Surf Nazis Must Die.
Yes.
Directed by Peter George, from the glorious cinematic year that is, I'm just...
1987?
Yeah, I was just... what was I doing there? I was stalling. That's the word I was doing. That's what I was doing then. which, as we all know, is a trauma film, but I think it's a trauma acquisition rather than a trauma in-house.
Okay, so just one that they've distributed rather than
it
made.
It seems to be. I can't find... Yeah,
I
there's no production credits
own...
for Lloyd Kaufman or...
Okay.
Anyone or Michael Herz. So, I mean, yeah, it seems to be an acquisition. Did you watch the sort of... No, I guess it wouldn't be on your DVD. The sort of Lloyd Kaufman sort of introduction to the film...
Yeah.
Was that on there?
Yeah, I didn't
watch
it.
Well, he mentions picking it up at a can, but I wasn't sure if they sort of took it to can to show it off or if they picked it up at can, but it looks like they might have picked it up at can.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okie dokie.
You've got the Arrow release, haven't you?
Yes.
I've got two different versions of the trauma release that both seem to be almost identical in at least several ways.
Identical in several ways.
Yes.
So how
the boxes are different, but I think the discs are the same.
How come you have two?
Pardon?
Why do you have two?
Because I had it once, and then it wouldn't work, so I bought it again. But it was then the other one that I had first worked fine after I bought the second one. Maybe I should share the wealth. But I quite
Maybe
like having two copies of Certain Nazis Must Die. Because, you know...
I'm expecting a very positive review from you, then.
I definitely like it a lot.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. do you want to give us some... What does the Arrow box say? I'm interested to find out.
Okay, the synopsis is...
Yeah.
When the California coast is ravaged by a massive earthquake, the beaches are left in a state of anarchy. In this lawless void, a new power is rising. Adolf and his evil gang of fascist water rats are coming. They are the surf Nazis and they must die. Fighting with rival beach gangs and harassing the locals, the surf Nazis soon take over the area. But when they ice a local jogger, it opens up a can of revenge as the murdered man's mama breaks out of a retirement home, tooled up and ready for harsh vigilante justice. There you go.
Wow. That's a... I think this sums it up.
Pretty much.
We'll just play the trailer in the run up to this, and the trailer is hilarious. They keep sort of working in the phrase "surf Nazis must die," like really like ham fistedly low. Like, as long as Mama Washington is alive, the surf Nazis must die, and stuff like that. It's just. Really stupid.
Just in case the title isn't memorable enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically what I've got on these two different ones. These both got different blurbs as well. I like that this one calls her Leroy's mama. Like, but with no setup as to who Leroy is.
He's that important, we should already know, apparently.
Exactly. He is important. He's an integral part of the surf Nazi world. So, is this one that you'd never seen before?
No, I had seen it, but a very, very long time ago.
I got the impression on Twitter that you weren't too happy with it.
It's not a film that I love. It's kind of boring.
It is kind of boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not boring, it's just... It's paced badly. It needs a lot more, a lot more time in the editing room, I think.
Yes. Yeah. It's a mess. It's a mess. But it's an enjoyable mess.
Like,
judging it as a film, yeah. I might not be that complimentary, but it's certainly an enjoyable movie. Like, it's the perfect movie if you get some mates and some beers around. And you can all sit there and kind of have a laugh at it. And I mean, we should probably mention that it's not really supposed to be a horror, is it? It's supposed to be a comedy. Or at least there are supposed to be some comedic elements. Well, IMDb has it listed as action comedy drama. And Wikipedia informs me that it is an American comedy film directed by Peter George. So, yeah.
Where's the comedy?
All the way through, damn it.
But, like, where's the intentional comedy?
I don't know. Maybe that's why a lot of people think it's supposed to be a horror. I mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't say that, like, it's not necessarily a horror anyway. It's a it's a revenge film or a Nazi film or whatever.
It's a surf film.
Yeah.
Surely.
To go back to the sort of the talk about the editing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be like it's edited in such a way that I think it was edited. What am I trying to say? It was edited like purposefully, like that, because the violence sort of increases gradually throughout the film.
Yeah.
At the start of the film, all the violence is off screen.
Mostly, yeah.
And then it sort of escalates gradually, and that's a very sort of purposeful thing to do.
Yeah.
But I think they need someone else, like, in the editing room stood behind them saying, we don't need this. We don't need that.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, there's that.
Yeah, it could have been a bit tighter.
It could have been. I do love the opening scene, though. I really love it.
Mm.
The, where the biggest waves in the world found scene. That one.
Yeah.
And who rules the beaches, and who rules the surfers, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it. I think as long as if you watch this film 5 years ago and then just think back at it, then you'll really enjoy it.
So you're saying if you're watching it right now, you might not enjoy it?
Yeah, I don't enjoy it when I actually watch it, but I enjoy having watched it and just being able to think about my favourite moments from the film and forget about all the other shit.
So it's just a hindsight kind of movie?
Definitely is.
Okay.
This is one of the first trauma films that I ever saw. I know you were sort of conversing with my friend Liam over Twitter, and we sort of heavily got into trauma back when Out There was on telly. We were about maybe 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was Out There, and then Channel 4 did their trauma season when they were showing traumas. Go on.
You wrote a piece about this, didn't you? Because you, I don't know if you still are, but you sort of really big on trauma at one point.
Yeah.
And you did that huge kind of feature. Well, huge might be overselling it, but you did the feature on how much you love trauma movies and sort of your favourite trauma movies. And I think, didn't you say like Terra Firma was one that you discovered when it was on that Channel 4 thing?
Yeah. I taped it. Well, in fact, Liam taped it and I stole his tape of it. And it was really sort of, it got me at the exactly the right age. I was the perfect sort of demographic for trauma then. I was like 13, 14-year-old kid who loves horror and gore, but like hadn't really discovered any of the sort of low budget or the sort of unabashedly low budget stuff.
Yeah.
And sort of trauma sort of grabbed me and made me realise that like you didn't need certain things to make films, and sort of informed me forever. I think like the reason I like the stuff that I like now is probably because of trauma. And while I don't get the same joy in the trauma films that I used to, I think trauma were a big influence on like the reason why I enjoy such like why I can find like so much good in a film that like many other people can't see the good in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like blockbuster fans would write off entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good thing, though.
No, definitely. I really appreciate it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Hmm.
There's a few that I just don't enjoy anymore, like, at all. I can't get into Romeo and Juliet.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's one of my favourites. Still, I love that movie.
I just think it's really slow. It's like next to like the other sort of post 95 sort of trauma productions.
Yeah.
Like you got Terra Firma, obviously, you got Toxic Avenger 4, Citizen Toxie, Poltergeist. I think that's about it, you know.
There aren't a lot, are there?
No, they don't.
Father's Day, obviously.
Oh yeah, Father's Day is the newest one. like that one. That's the only one, Romeo and Juliet, that's sort of paced terribly.
It's too long.
It is definitely too long.
I don't think I would say it was paced terribly. I think it could lose at least 20 minutes and not suffer. I enjoy a lot about that movie, though, still. Just, yeah. I don't think I'll ever fall
well, how did you feel
that.
About Poltergeist?
Immediately, not so sold on it.
Right.
Second watch, much, much more so. Grew on me a lot.
Yeah.
Why? How do you view that, then?
I think it's great. I lent my copy of it to someone ages ago and never got it back.
Oh.
Which is annoying, because I bought two copies of that film.
Is that something you do, then? You just buy two copies of all trauma movies?
Well, no, because I bought one for you, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, I mean, trauma's a big influence on me.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first ones that I saw, so I guess this is one of the ones that really... But it's weird, like, because, like, looking at it now,
mm-hmm.
it's really slow. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of, like, draggy moments.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's not an awful lot that happens, apart from, like, the tentpole sort of moments that you'd put in the trailer,
mm-hmm.
which are in the trailer.
Yeah.
So, like, it's weird that a kid, a young teenager, would really sort of find that enjoyable.
Yeah, I guess so.
But fuck it, I did, and here I am.
I mean, so, like, when you say that was one of your first kind of experiences of trauma, how familiar with horror movies in general, or that kind of sort of maybe exploitation-y side of cinema?
Well, I mean, I've been watching horror films since I was super young. Dad made me watch Rawhead Rex. He just sort of sat me in front of Rawhead Rex and went off and did his own thing. I don't think he knew what it was about.
It does sound like it might be some kind of, I don't know, jovial kids flick.
Yeah. Well, it was, I think I was about six then. I got Goonies in my birthday stocking when I was nine, I think. I first saw Night of the Living Dead when I was nine.
This explains a lot, you know. It's all coming clear now.
I mean, we used to do a lot of, like... My dad's girlfriend at the time had a sort of corner shop that had a sort of video rental annex in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, like, take videos from her and, like, watch them. Obviously, that's what you do with videos. And so I spent a lot of time getting really into horror as, like, very young. Mm. Very, very young. And then exploitation, not so much. It wasn't really a thing that I was aware of as a separate genre.
Yeah.
So, like, I would see... I had another... It was a weird sci-fi action film called Apex that I think was... Its main selling point was it had a cameo from Jim Belushi in it. And so that was another one. I think that was... Yeah, I wasn't aware of exploitation at all, but I was very much aware of horror and gore. And it was never, like, the horror-y stuff that scared me about horror films. Like, when I watched Night of the Living Dead for the first time, it wasn't the fact that there were zombies and shit walking around biting people that scared me. It was, spoiler alert, the fact that the hero dies at the end.
Yeah.
Was the thing that really sort of made me think, shit, anything could happen.
Mm.
And then sort of trauma came along later on. I don't know how you got into... How did you get into horror? We've never really talked about that, have we?
How I got into horror?
Well,
on
yeah.
the whole?
Yeah.
I guess because I was always banned from watching anything like that. My mum effectively made it so taboo that became the only thing I had any interest in. Because if you... I don't know, I think if you ban a child outright from watching a certain sort of thing, then... Of course, that's the one thing they're going to want to watch, right?
No, definitely.
And I think that's what did it. And then when I was about 11, my mum introduced me to The X-Files.
Well, that seems kind of counterproductive.
Contradictory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. this is the woman who was sort of taking... what do you call them? Petitions round, trying to get people to sign them to... After the Jamie Bulger murder, trying to get Video Nasties banned. She was a member of the Merry Whitehouse Brigade, sadly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's serious business.
So much has changed.
She's so proud of you.
Oh, dear. Sorry, Mum.
They listen as well, don't they? I know your dad has listened.
Sometimes. Yeah. They wow. They phone me up every now and again to tell me to stop swearing so much. So, yeah. I think that's what it was.
I love that they, before they sort of realised what they were doing, when they were talking about banning all this stuff off telly and films, they originally called their group Clean Up National Television. And obviously it had the anagram to go with it. And I just think it's the greatest thing that ever happened.
That is spectacular.
It really, really is.
Brilliant. So yeah, we've digressed quite a lot.
Yeah, we have. Like, I mean, it's trauma month. We talked about trauma. How did you get into trauma then?
Honestly, I don't really know. I can't actually remember what the first trauma movie was that I ever saw. I think it was either Toxic Avenger or Class of Newcombe High, and I can't remember which. I got into trauma quite late.
Right.
Like, maybe 7 years ago?
Wow, so you were already pushing 40 then.
Yeah, something like that. At least. I say quite late, like, in comparison to you, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think maybe Class of Newcombe High. I can't even remember where I heard about them. But I just remember watching one of their films and thinking it was, like, the greatest thing ever and just trying to track down as much as I could at that point. Wow. I've always had a real soft spot for what they do, for their output.
That's weird, because, like, obviously I was really into trauma when we used to hang out.
Yeah.
And that would have been, if it was, say, 7 years ago, that would have been before you got into trauma.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, Surf Nazis Must Die.
Go on, Surf Nazis Must Die. Tell me what you think about this film. Would you compare it to The Warriors?
No.
Would you not?
No.
It's very similar to The Warriors in a lot of ways.
In some ways, yeah. I think,
like, it's got the same sort of feeling of, like, of post-apocalyptic, even though it's not necessarily post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Sort of like a localised apocalypse, like New York is sort of a localised apocalypse in The Warriors.
Yeah.
And obviously the earthquake is obviously a localised sort of thing to LA. I mean, they have earthquakes in other places, but I mean this, you know what I mean. And that's a sort of Warriors-y thing. They sort of wear Warriors-esque Nazi outfits.
Is the person who was in charge of wardrobe on this film the same person that did Savage Streets, by any chance?
Maybe.
Because that would make a lot of sense.
Me and Andy were talking, housemate Andy, and I was saying, like, is there more to being a Nazi than just sort of covering yourself in swastikas? And he sort of noted that the surf Nazis are to Nazis as the Warriors are to Native Americans.
That's definitely a good point.
It really is.
I can't argue with that at all. Well done, that man.
Yeah, he's good. So, yeah, I think there's some Warriors comparisons.
Yeah, I guess.
But, I mean,
it's not
the Warriors.
No, my mind wouldn't necessarily have gone there had you not mentioned it. There are some similarities, but I think the two films are also worlds apart.
Yeah, I had to go check if Hook wasn't one of the Baseball Furies. That's what sort of got me thinking about it. Because he looked like he would just be one of the Baseball Furies, and he wasn't.
I was trying to see if I recognised anyone who was in this movie, and I was going through the names.
Ted Pryor was in it. He was one of the sort of beach bum blonde ones.
Yeah.
What are they called? Like the Fashion Waves or the something like that?
Something, yeah.
And he's in Deadly Prey and what's the one with the gym? Aerobicide. Or Killer Workout.
Of course.
Have you seen Killer Workout? It's fucking incredible. It's a beautiful, beautiful film. Touching portrayal of our time.
Sounds wicked.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only name, really, that I recognised in the cast list was Michael Sonnier. And I couldn't figure out why, but then it's because he also goes by Juki Flyswatter. So, because he was in he had a very, very, very tiny role in Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
Yeah.
And was also the voice of the imp in Sorority Babes.
Of course he was.
Because I didn't know who he was before we did Trash Kings Month.
Right.
But now I do. So yeah, he's cropped up quite a bit lately.
Did Peter George direct anything else?
He's only done one other movie. What else did he do? Let's have a look. Young Goodman Brown, 1993.
Wow, what's this about?
So he's not had the most glitzy.
Oh, it stars Smeg.
It does. And Mindy Clark, your favourite.
She's not my favourite.
She was for a while.
Her performance in Return of the Living Dead 3 was one of those performances that was important to me growing up.
Performance?
All right.
Is that what we're calling it?
Her being a sort of sexy, scantily clad zombie was one of those...
That's more like it. That sounds
one of those things that
accurate.
Informed my youth. Along with that film that they were showing Channel 5 quite a lot called The Tit and the Moon.
That sounds like, I don't really know.
I think it was a sort of European arty film about this boy that really wanted to be breastfed by a really sexy lady. Let me tell you this, right?
Go on.
It's super hard to masturbate when there's a child keeps popping up.
I'll bear that in mind.
It's okay, I'm over that now. I have the internet and everything.
I'm just looking that film up on IMDb. I've never heard of it.
It's definitely real. I didn't dream
it. No, it's real. It's real. It looks bizarre. I might not add that to my to-watch list, if that's okay.
You will. You know
I
you will.
I might not. So anyway, what else is worth mentioning about Surf Nazis Must Die? The wonderful synth soundtrack, that typically 80s trauma synth soundtrack.
Fucking great, I think.
It has its moments, doesn't it?
Really great.
Yeah, there were points where I was kind of caught myself quite enjoying it. But yeah. I don't know what more I can say about Surf Nazis Must Die, to be
honest. I'm sorry, I'm just reading about The Tit and the Moon.
Okay. Maybe we should have covered that one.
We should. What are the keywords? Plot keywords. Moon. Husband-wife relationship. Climbing. Sex on a waterbed. Toe-sucking. Menage a trois. Breast flashing. Cabaret act. Flaming fart. Catalan. Breast milk. Machismo. Flatulence. Red bra and panties. 9-year-old. Aqueduct.
Are you still reading keywords, or are you just saying random words now?
These are all there. Pet frog, breastfeeding, impotence, courage, wet nurse. I like the idea that there's someone who just sort of sits there thinking, what are the keywords about this film? Well, climbing, sex on a waterbed, bare breasts, breast flashing, cabaret act, funeral,
pet frog,
baby boy, epilogue, prologue, nudity.
This show got weird.
Yeah, it did. Right, Surf Nazis Must Die.
Yeah.
So, right. Let me ask you this.
Okay. Well,
let me put this to you. Peter George is a better director than his, mouth can say, I think.
Huh?
He's a better director than he will let himself be. There were some really great, directorial choices in this film.
Such as?
There's the scene where, is it Mengele and Adolf are having a ruck. And it's shot really far away, and they're in an aircraft hangar.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And there's a few little fires everywhere, and they're sort of doing it all in silhouette from really far away.
Yes, I did like that.
Really, really fucking good. And there was there was another one. What was the other one? Leroy's death as well. It sort of it reminded me a little bit of Jaws.
Yeah.
So there's a bit in Jaws where it's when he's chumming the water. Roy Scheider is chumming the water, and the shark comes up, and it cuts to a shot of just empty sky, and then Roy Scheider sort of moves into the shot. There's a shot like that, and I think it's fucking brilliant. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to rip off Spielberg, but but I love it. I think it's great. So that's good. There was another one. I think I've written it down. The sort of the editing as well. Like some of the editing's pretty bad, but some of the cuts are really good. So there's a bit where Smeg and Mama Washington are sort of there together, and she's pushing him up against the Pink Floyd album cover wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of it's really fast intercuts with like people surfing.
Yeah.
And it sort of gives you a real sort of sense of like where they are and sort of almost like how important this is, even though it's not, because it's fucking Surf Nazis Must Die. But like it gives you a sense of how like of its importance. And then
do you not think those great bits kind of highlighted how shit the shit bits were?
Well, that's what I mean. He's a better director than he will let himself be.
Yeah. I think maybe it's a fluke though. Maybe the good parts were a fluke and the rest of it is more indicative. Who knows?
I think he didn't shoot enough coverage. Because the scene where it's shot from a distance and they're in the aircraft hangar or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I think that it goes on too long. And yeah. I guess he didn't do a close-ups of it.
Yeah.
Or, like, nearer. And then there's a few other scenes where it's like, if that was the best take, then maybe you should have done it again. Yeah. Like, there's the bit where, who is it? There's some guys in a car, and they're trying to go, and you have to sort of wait for, like, about 6 or 7 seconds while he sort of turns the ignition and goes. And they're, like, banging on the dashboard for him to go. And he just sort of, there's, like, a weird beat where it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
There are a few things like that where it's definitely not the best take. But it's a low-budget film, and you sort of forgive that.
But yeah, I mean, I don't want to make too many excuses for any movie, but, I mean, because it's so low-budget, I would imagine they were under some pretty tight time constraints.
No, definitely.
So, you can explain it away. You don't necessarily have to forgive it, but, yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of loaded differently to most of the revenge films that we've looked at.
Yeah.
Obviously, this definitely isn't Revenge Month.
No.
But it's very much, here are the surf Nazis, Mama Washington's over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because the surf Nazis are more interesting and that's the name of the film and they're there too.
They definitely are more interesting.
Well, they are, yeah. Or if it's, we get to see them so we can hate them. And then when Mama Washington comes along and does her revenging, then it feels better. I mean, it's not satisfying revenge. It's just, the point of the film is it just sort of plods along and then ends.
It's very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
It feels like it's building up to something. You feel like there's going to be some kind of payoff, and then, like you say, it's pretty disappointing.
Do you know what the most disappointing thing about the film was?
Go on.
I don't know if this is on yours, but on my credits, it had a sort of scroll on the bottom saying, stay tuned for Surf Nazis Must Die fashion show. Mama Washington, Smeg and Mengele will show you how to catch the fashion wave. And so I waited through the whole fucking credits and then it just ended.
Aww.
And I was really annoyed. So that was anticlimactic, I can tell you that much.
Aww, I'm glad I didn't see that.
Smeg, yeah. What happens to Smeg? Does Mama Washington kill him? Does it happen off screen? I don't know.
I don't remember seeing that. I think maybe it does happen off screen.
If she does. It's never really,
I would imagine she does.
Yeah, well, he's bragging about killing Leroy.
Yeah, exactly. And she's an angry, angry lady, so she's not going to let him off.
Oh, she's got some great lines. I don't want no woman's gun or whatever. I want something that'll take the head off a honky from 50 paces.
Right. I'm never sure, because it's trauma, if some of the choices are intentional or if that's just how it ended up. Because what's the gun that she uses? Is that a Luger? Is it intentional that she's using...
It's a Walther P-38, but it was a German World War II issue gun.
So that's intentional then, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, I'm never sure if it's intentional or accidental with trauma. Whether they actually gave it some thought and put some meaning into it, or just went, oh, well, that'll do.
It's weird that they called it a Walther, though, because you could probably get away with calling a Walther a Luger, and a Luger is way more...
iconic.
Iconic is the word, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a Walther. I used to have a Walther P-38 that was decommissioned that I bought from the car boot sale near my house. and it was really heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Shall we wrap up, then?
Go on. Give me your wrap-up stuff.
Oh, well. Like we said at the beginning, it's definitely not a good film. It's just, well, like I said at the beginning. I enjoy it a lot, but I'm going to have to give it a score that's more indicative of how good a film it is, and I think I'm going to go with 4.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot to enjoy there. Like you say, the music was great. There are some fantastic... Like, some of the cinematography and the direction is pretty cool to look at.
Really is, yeah.
And it does have some great one-liners. It's ridiculous, but they, you know, quite memorable. So, yeah, I'm going to go with a 4. I'm not going to think about it too long because I might end up being more generous. So, yeah, 4.
Well, I'm the same, right? If I was grading the film before I rewatched it today, mm-hmm. I'd have probably given it maybe a 6.
In hindsight.
Yeah, a 6 or 6.5. I think when you think back on the film in a few weeks or a few months or a year or whatever,
okay,
when you don't have to think about all the other stuff that happens in between and just think about the bits that you liked, then you will like the film a lot more.
Okay. Should we rescore it at the end of a month?
Maybe. That might be a thing we could do. I'd probably give it a 5. I really enjoy it. Like, I can forgive the bits that are a bit crap, because I love the bits that aren't crap loads.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, straight down the middle with a 5 is probably fine for me.
Yeah.
And that's Surf Nazis Must Die. I mean, you've got an overweight black lady out for vengeance. You've got so-called Nazis not doing very much Nazi stuff. Apart from mm-hmm. they're maybe annexing the other gangs. That's kind of Nazi-ish.
Yeah. And they're just, like, absolute dicks, so...
Yeah, you've got a guy with an oversized hook for a hand who gets killed in the most hilarious way. Yeah. It's fun. I think the surfing looks really good as well. It's really, like... Some of the stuff is really well put together. Some of it isn't.
So, one last thing before we call a wrap on Surf Nazis Must Die. A lot of people on the IMDb message boards seem to be crying out for this film to be remade. Where do you stand on that issue?
I think a lot of people might be a bit generous.
No, all right, in relation to the number of threads...
I'm still on the tit and the moon. I was on the tit and the moon message board, I'm sorry.
In relation to the number of threads, there's a reasonably high percentage of them that mention remake at some point. I think it's a film that could definitely be vastly improved on.
Yeah, I think that's what they should be doing. They should be taking films that maybe didn't hit the market as well as they should and remaking those.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're doing, because they want built-in audience.
Guaranteed moneymakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I would like... Okay, since you brought it up, I know we're running a bit long.
Okay.
But since you brought it up... Mm-hmm. If they were to remake the Surf Nazis Must Die film mm-hmm. that we're talking about now, who would you cast?
Oh, man, I don't know. No, I can't do that on the spot. I'd have to think about that. Who would you cast?
All right, dream cast of Surf Nazis Must Die, right? Okay.
Adolf and Ava, first of all.
Adolf, Macaulay Culkin.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
I think, like, a sort of effeminate Adolf would be amazing.
Okay.
Ava doesn't have to be anyone. She's a crap character. Mengele, Jason... What's his fucking name?
Yeah, I'm gonna need more than that.
Go on, How I Met Your Mother?
Jason Segel
as Mengele. Let's just make it a balls-out comedy, right?
Okay.
Kurt Russell as Hook.
Oh, he's getting on a bit, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, but that's, that makes it even better.
What about Kurt Russell 30 years ago? That would have been ideal. If we're talking sort of ideal cast.
Yeah, okay.
Where time is not an issue.
Mama Washington, Oprah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, we're going highbrow. It's the colour purple too, Sir Francis Must Die.
I'd watch that movie. I would definitely throw money at that remake.
Would you?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt.
I don't remember any of the characters.
That's enough, I think.
Yeah.
Should we draw a line under that?
We'll be right back after this final break for some rappy wrap-up stuff. So yeah, join us in a minute.
It was a childhood corrupted by endless hours of VHS rentals.
For sake, the man had shit, you'd love it.
In his most formative years, he had seen it all.
I can handle anything.
Action.
Karate is not to be used aggressively. But if I have no other choice.
Horror. And romance. Now, he's decided it's time to go back. For just one more adventure.
Humans are such easy prey.
Noel Meller presents...
You're the problem, you little shit!
The Adventures in VHS Podcast.
Join me, Noel Meller, as each month I take an in-depth look at one movie from my collection of ex-rental 80s VHS classics and speak to one or two of the people involved with making them about what the format means to them.
The Adventures in VHS Podcast.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Download today from iTunes by searching for Adventures in VHS or visit adventuresinvhs.com.
Back, and we're going to talk about a couple of new releases, a bit of stuff on the site, and then probably get the fuck out of your hair so you can go about your daily business.
Yes.
So what's been released this week? What have we got? Well, there's Puppet Masters out on Blu-ray. Puppet Master Trilogy seems to be coming out on Blu-ray, and that's cool. Night of the Demons is also coming out.
Original or remake?
No, the remake. That's coming out on Blu-ray too.
How do we feel about the remake?
I don't know. I liked it when I saw it, but I saw it at Fright Fest, and so a nice horror comedy at Fright Fest is always a sort of a bit of a welcome thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how I actually felt about it. I've not seen it since Fright Fest. I remember thinking that Tiffany Shepherd was grossly underused.
Yeah, she wasn't in it very much, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. And that was the problem that I had with... the violent kind as well, that Tiffany Shepherd was underused. I just love Tiffany Shepherd and want her to be used.
Yeah.
I would like to use her.
I'm sure you would.
In my forthcoming motion picture experience.
Mm.
also out this week is The Silent House, which I haven't seen.
You haven't seen?
No.
Okay. I have.
You have. Remember, we talked about it a few weeks ago, and I thought I'd seen it, but I was getting it mixed up with Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, or whatever it was called.
Oh, okay. Same chick, different movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Silent House is okay. I've never seen the original.
Right.
So I can't make any comparison between the two movies, but it was daft. Like, there were some really effective parts in it. And
yeah.
I kind of got sucked into it, and then, without wanting to spoil the ending, that kind of came out of left field for me, and maybe ruined it a little bit.
Right.
But it's still a pretty decent horror movie. Like, they do really well at building the tension and the mystery and everything. Yeah, I would watch it again.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't run out and bought your copy today...
Yep.
There's what can they do? What can they do to get a copy, Sarah?
They can go on over to gorepress.com and they can enter our competition.
Nice.
We've got a few copies that you can win. It's not actually on the site now, but it will be when this goes live. And I think Scullion's come up with a question, so I'm sure it'll be very easy. So if you answer that, send us your details. And you never know. You might want a DVD. And who doesn't like free DVDs?
Yeah. Are we doing the other competition as well, the screening? Are we not doing that?
We did a screening competition.
Right.
When it was screened the first time. I think it was the London premiere or something.
Right.
So we're not doing it this time around, no.
Right, fair enough. I just keep getting emails about it, so I wasn't sure.
They're very keen.
They are, aren't they? But they ignored us doing an interview for the podcast.
Yeah, I think because Dave had already interviewed Laura Lau, the director.
Yeah.
So maybe they thought it might be overkill.
Well, I mean, five emails is probably overkill anyway, so...
Potentially. The only other exciting thing that might be coming up, fingers crossed, I think Scullion's bagged an interview with Danielle Harris.
Oh, nice.
So that could be pretty cool.
I want to interview Danielle Harris in the back of... I can't remember what the car is. What's the car? I'm thinking of Mallrats.
I have no idea. I can't remember right now. But no dice, either way.
Oh, man.
Because Dave's beating you to it.
Damn it. They better not do it in the back of a Toyota or whatever the fuck it is in Mallrats. I can't remember.
I would imagine it won't be.
No. Oh, also, something else is out this week. We did sort of Trash Kings a few months ago.
Yep.
And Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death has just got a new DVD release.
Okay.
Which is great. It's got Shannon Tweed in it. It's got Adrian Barbeau in it.
Did we talk about that?
I don't think so. We might have mentioned it in the what people have directed that we liked stuff.
that segment with the really catchy name.
Yeah.
that's why
we shit canned it, I think. Just because the name was too much.
Probably.
Right. One last thing before we go. I spent a lot of time this morning. One of my favourite bands is called Surf Nazis Must Die. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time today trying to decide which Surf Nazis Must Die song would be the best for the end of the podcast. And that's the creep show. That's not Surf Nazis Must Die. And I think I picked one that is the best one. It's called Theme Song.
Okay.
So we're going to go out on that. We'll be back next week with Mother's Day.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll be back next week.
We will.
But hopefully yes. It'll be Mother's Day. If it's not Mother's Day, it'll be another day. See what I did there?
I do.
Yeah.
Genius.
So here we go. This is a theme song by Surf Nazis Must Die, and we'll be back next week. So goodbye for now. Say goodbye, Sarah.
Bye.
Stay spooky.
I was waiting for that.